2. Hello.
1 2 1 2.
Are we live? Yeah. Are we live, sir? All right.
Looks like, yeah.
That's cool. It's all this warp speed stuff. Have we got some Irish people in the room?
No.
So that side of the room, right? I'm from the UK. I just recognized some people from Ireland. Right? You're not allowed to do it. Give me 5 minutes, sir. Yeah? I'm a bit nervous. Sorry, when I get nervous, I start doing press ups and dance moves. It doesn't make me less technical, just makes me more bearable. Yeah. Hi, my name's Sam Erskine. Here's Diddy. The title of the session is Reporting Hero to Superhero in Warp Speed. Can I just have a show of hands? How many people are into Star Trek?
Wow, quite a few.
Quite a few.
That's a lot.
I didn't know if warp speed translated or not. Hyperdrive?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. All right, so this is kind of like reporting in hyperdrive mode, right? That's what it's about. I try my best to make it look good. Is everybody in? Because if this was a nightclub, man, I'd be shutting that door. You know what I mean? Your name ain't on that door, you ain't coming in. All right. So on that note, I'm just going to hand over to Dieter Gasser here.
Thank you, Sam. Sure. So my name is Dieter. I'm with IT NetX. I'm head of software solutions. And I'm also a system center expert, mainly in service manager. And back in the days, I used to be a database developer, and I also did a lot of reporting. That's why I'm here today with Sam to talk about reporting in System Center. And I think, Sam, you can best introduce yourself.
My best, easy. I'm also a System Center consultant. Last year I was here, I was pretending not to know anything because I and Diddy were writing a book on reporting. The driving instructor part is based on the fact that I believe in simplicity. So me being advanced doesn't help my customers. So my goal is to help people to move forward. I'm also an author. I've authored 2 books with Diddy, but I've authored 5 books or contributed to it. I work across Config Manager, Service Manager, pretend to know Orchestrator because I've got Andreas here to fill in the gaps. And everything else, I just make up, right? But I've been in IT for about 20 years now. I graduated from university 20 years ago, and I used to code in C++. I've been running away from coding ever since. So all I do is I get smart buddies like Diddy. So on that note, I'm just going to give it to him to sort of like tell you about what's in it for you today. I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. This is going to change.
Just a bit.
So let's focus on what this is all about for today. By the way, thank you very much for being here. This is the last session of the day, and thank you for hanging in there. Today we're going to talk about reporting, and first of all, we're going to cover why do we need reports. We're also going to talk about some common reporting scenarios that you might come across in your daily life, and then we discuss tools that you need to actually fulfill the requirements that you have in the reporting landscape, and we're going to cover 2 different approaches as to how to create reports, and then ultimately we do the demos. This is the most important piece of today's session, and we will hopefully have some time for questions and answers.
Actually, I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with Diddy because he did something to this slide deck, and he told me that when he gets to this part, he won't let me know what it is, so all I'm going to do is click. And he's going to fill it in. So I have no idea at this stage, right? You got to work with me on this.
No. This is actually yours, right?
Is it? But
yeah. This.
I do lie a bit.
Well, no. So well, it's warp speed, right?
Yeah, this hyperdrive.
So actually, we have the 5 bullets. We have questions and answer, which is there because we need to have it. And we also want to have time for it. We have demos. This is the important one. And the remaining 3, we just warp speed through them. And we take you as fast as possible to Omicron Pearl CI8.
Does that translate anybody into Futurama?
Oh.
Yeah, all right. I told you not to put it in, but
allegedly. Cool. Come on.
This means something, so.
The geek's gonna know. All right.
So why should we care about reporting? I've got an overactive clicker or somebody messed with my slide deck. Is it you again?
Sure.
All right, so as far as we're concerned, I missed the point here. Are there any managers in the room? Oh, good, I'm in the right place. I can pick on them. anybody here do reporting? Cool. Does it make you money? Yeah, that's the man there. He's almost in there. This one will make you lots of money. So typically, we've got three pillars for reporting. There's showing value. You guys can read, so I won't talk too much about it, but things like business cases. Visibility is important to me because I'm a process guy. I tend to be the guy that prevents Diddy from customizing until I know it's right. So for reporting, if there is a process that needs optimization, if you don't report on it, you don't know. And finally, show me the money, right? What I found is that I got into Config Manager in the SMS 2003 days. What made me a super admin was because I could write reports on the database. Nothing else, right? Everybody else could do OSD and patch management, but I could light up the data, and it helped me to progress. AKA, I'm here in Switzerland, and you know, my cell is picking up parts of something. I don't know what yet, but I'll send you a bill, yeah? Okay. Thank you. So this is why we believe you should care about reporting, but reporting without a scenario behind it doesn't make sense, right? So before doing the demos, we thought we'd share the kind of like areas that you could report against. So for instance, with Windows 10 coming out recently, we've got a couple of challenges, right? Because I've got a super pumped up computer. I'm running with 8 gig, but I work with some customers that may have people that have low chipsets or whatever it is, but how do you know until you report against it? So that's one of the scenarios that Diddy is gonna walk through. The other part is once you've got to know about the hardware specs and stuff like that, I tend to find that I work for large organizations where I get the next best laptop when my manager gets his new laptop. Have any of you experienced that? Yeah? That's cool, man. That's why I've been trying to get to the top. So at least I'm one away from the newest laptop. So that's what we'll be looking at. And finally, do we have any service manager people in the room? Man, you're hardcore. Did you start in 2010? Anybody here on 20? No, you're too old, Andreas. That's cool, man. You got Marcel over there. That's all right. So I've been doing service manager since its early days when it was really, really hard. In fact, I started here in Switzerland. And my experience with service manager is the guy called me in. Was it Hamilton or something?
No, I think he's in the room.
Is he?
Is Dirk Walker in the room?
Oh, no, 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 I hope he's not. He gave me such a hard time. He's a good guy. He made
okay,
me think.
Not, but
right?
I've seen him outside.
Yeah, I've seen him outside. So I didn't know I had to do a demo in Service Manager until I turned up that day. And 5 years later, I'm much better at it because I've worked on 2 books. But that's where I met Diddy, and that's when I got to find out about Swiss German, right? It doesn't translate in English in any form. You know, I was in like, where's Hamilton? Bonaduz? Yeah. We're using Merci Philemon. I'm like, what? French and German combined? What's that all about? And I got to Zurich, it was still different. So now I've given up completely. I just do Danke Philemon. S is good. It's tip top. So anybody ready for a demo? Yeah? All right, cool. So I'm going to hand over to the maestro now. He's much better with this.
Yeah? Okay, maybe you can move one slide back a little quick.
You sure?
Sure, yeah. So just to give you a little bit of a story behind what you're going to see. So for now, we're going to focus on the first two scenarios. We're going to create one dashboard report based on data coming from SCCM, from ConfigMan. And The use case behind it is that I want to see in one report how many computers do I have running, which operating system, how much RAM do they have, what CPUs are they powered with, and last but not least, what else do we have? What hardware it is, so what make and model is it? So that I can have one view of my environment and find potential candidates for a hardware refresh. So let me see if I can easily switch over here.
So for the purpose of today, I'm just going to be Didis Minion. When you pay me, I activate my geek cells. So it's almost 6 o'clock. I'm usually a geek by day, freak by night. I'm in partial freak mode, so don't let it freak you out, right? Diddy's in my geek mode. And look, I'm trying to fill in the time. It's like the
I'm
egg timer.
I'm all set, dude.
You
I'm
sure?
all set.
All right,
sure.
You good to go?
All
you
right.
sure? All right.
Okay.
Can't be the egg timer all the time.
Thank you. Thank you. So for this first scenario, we're going to use more traditional reporting tools. Who is using Report Builder in the room? All right, quite a few people. So we're not using Report Builder. We're using Visual Studio instead. But the authoring experience is very similar. And we're also going to cover after the demo, we're going to cover the differences between Report Builder and the Visual Studio experience. So I'm going to fire up Visual Studio here. And once when you have installed the business intelligence extensions for Visual Studio, and when you create a new project, you will actually see the new project templates for analysis, integration services, and reporting services. So we're going to create a new report server project, and we're going to name it SCU Client Dashboard. I enable source control because I think that's one of the key differences between Report Builder and TFS, that it tightly integrates with your source control system. My Visual Studio is locked onto Visual Studio Online, so whatever I'm doing is being checked into Visual Studio in the cloud, and this enables other report authors to work on the same solution together with me. All right. So now I'm here in a blank solution. First of all, when I create a new report, I have to connect to my data. So I will create a data source and give it a name, configman. And I have to provide the server name, of course. My server name is SQL01. And the database is CMSR01. You can see here all the other or some other system center databases that I have. For this demo, we use configman. All right. So once this is set up, we can add a new report. And we're going to name it Client Dashboard. Now we are in the report designer, which obviously is very empty. I cannot do much here because I don't have any data yet. So from the data source to your actual report, you will create data sets in between. So a data set defines a set of data that you would like to present in a report. So first of all, let's wrap up again. I want to see operating systems. I want to see the hardware make and model. I want to see RAM and CPUs. So we need four data sets. So let's start with the first one, operating systems. I'm going to name it DSOS, data set operating system. Now there's two ways. One way is you can just type your SQL query, which obviously requires you to know a lot about the internals of the SQL database. Or you can use the query designer. Either way, in the query designer, you also have to pick the tables that you need. And as you can see here, the list is just massive, right? So for some system center products, Microsoft did a good job. For others, they did a reasonable job. For the rest, they did no job. So for SCCM, it's pretty well documented, actually. We have all the URLs in the slide deck for review later. So all the SQL Server views are very well documented on TechNet. So in here, if you go to the inventory views, hardware inventory is what we are interested in. You actually see here the list of all views and the explanations as to what you will find in those views. So this helps us a lot when we design our reports. So we know there's a view called VGS operating system somewhere in the list. We can add it. And I personally, I like to just return all columns and give it a go so that I see the data that is being returned here. So then I can decide what I need. So I need a list of my operating systems. I see operating systems here. So we're certainly going to need the column caption 0. Let's pick that one. And that's it. All I want is now a count of how many instances of this operating system do I have. The resource ID is the internal ID of the computer that runs this operating system. So I'm going to pick the resource ID here. And then I want to group by caption. Up here is this tiny little icon, use group by. What it will do now is it will only create one row per operating system. And for the resource ID, I want to count the number of computers that have this operating system. So all I have to do here, and when I execute this again, I see I have 3 Windows 8.1, 17 Windows Server Data Centers, and 22 standards. So I'm all done. I click OK. And now all it did is it created the SQL statement for me, and I can click OK again. And now we have the first data set. The second data set is about the hardware. So to speed things up, I have prepared the SQL query here.
That's why we call it a cookbook. Here's one he prepared earlier.
Yeah. Right.
So it's.
So basically, this is the first query that we have just created using the query designer. This is the second one that returns hardware, make, and model. And we actually manufacture a model. I want this in one column, so we can simply combine this by adding plus and a white space and another plus here. And we call this row hardware. If you execute this again, you will see that we have now, again, the same result, the hardware and the number of instances we have of this particular device. So we just copy this back to Visual Studio, paste it here, and hit OK. Oops. Let's give it a better name, DS Hardware. It's getting a little boring, I know, but once this is done, we come to the fun part. So next one is for the RAM. The memory I'm also going to copy, because what we need to do is we actually need to convert megabytes to gigabytes, because megabytes is a big number. I don't want to confuse the readers of my report. So with this query, we actually have the number of gigabytes followed by the GB sign in a nice manner in here. So we paste it as well. And for the last one, you use the query designer again, just to repeat. So we add a new one. We're using DSCPU. We go to the query designer. Now, after looking at the website, we will find out that the view GS processor hosts information about our CPUs. We add it, we close it, we again return all rows to see where our data is. So you see there's a lot of data that I don't really care about. So here it is. This is the CPU. And we also have the clock speed, so this column is enough. So we go for name 0. We group by this column, and we add the resource ID, and we count the number of computers. Here we have it again, so that's fine. So we're all set. Now we have our 4 data sets. Now we come to the more crispy part to actually present the data. Let's expand the design area a little bit here. Let's also show the report data. This is a good tip. So this pane is, by default, it's hidden. So if you go to view report data, you see all the elements that are in your report. Now, most people get a little bit confused. So you see here is data sources is empty, but over here we have a data source. Data sets is empty, but over here we have a data set. So the data sets over here are shared data sets and shared data sources that you can use across reports. For each individual report that you need the data set, you actually have to link the data set to your report. So what we have to do here is we have to add the data sets that we have created to our report. We actually should maybe give it a better name. But don't be afraid, once this is done, they are actually still, Visual Studio still links them together. So if you do updates on the shared data set, all you have to do is refresh the report data set and then it will get a new column definitions if you have done changes there. We will also add our hardware data set. We will add our RAM data set. And we will add the CPU data set. All right. Now, we might want a header in our report, so we add a page header. In the page header, we can add a nice image to make it a little bit more appealing. Under scenario one, there we have a nice logo, which we go for the original size. And of course, we also want the title for our report, Client Management Dashboard. This is pretty simple, I think, after using Report Builder or Visual Studio a couple of times. This is pretty easy to handle. Now we start with the presentation of the data. We use different chart types and tables. Let's first pick a chart and put it here. Now you get the selection of what chart type you want. So for the operating systems, I want a pie chart because there's not so many operating systems. I believe this will look pretty nice. We can change the chart title here. And now when you click here under values, you have to tell the chart what values should be displayed. And then you will see all the data sets that we have linked. So from the operating system data set, we want to have, I didn't give it a name, expression one is actually the count of computers. And we want this by caption zero, which is the name of the operating system. Now, at any point while authoring your reports, you can switch to preview up here to see whether it actually works. So now it's connecting to the SQL database, and we see, okay, that's what we want. We see red is big, we have Windows Server standard deployed. And we also might want to have the actual number of deployed instances. So just right-click on the pie chart and select Show Data Labels, and we will have the actual numbers in our report as well. For the hardware, we're going to use a bar chart. We put it here. We again gonna set the values. Now pick the other data set from hardware. The resource ID, and in the categories, we're gonna put the hardware. We can remove the axis title here because it doesn't make real sense. I think everybody knows what this is all about. Change the hardware title, and go to preview again. All right, this makes sense. So we see we have a lot of virtual machines. Of course, this is a sample data set. But this is how we can move on to create our report. Next one, would be the distribution of RAM. This is really absolutely the same. In the values from the RAM data set, we pick the count of instances. And in the categories, we pick the RAM, the amount of RAM. Going to the preview again. Now, this is also a little tip here that sometimes you might be confused. It's now skipping ticks here on the vertical axis. So you can prevent this by just selecting the vertical axis and under interval, where it's set to auto, just type 1 to force the report to have one tick for each individual row in the sample data. And if we refresh the report, you will see that now we have one row for each individual amount of RAM. Now, a lot of graphics. Let's do a table view for the CPUs. You see here, table is useful if you just want to have a table, a flat table, whereas a matrix can be used if you want to have expansion and collapse of data inside one table, and also have different columns and row headings. So for this example, we're just going to add a table right here. In the header, we actually only need two rows, so we delete this one, columns. Here would be the CPU, here is the count. And then under data, you see that you see this small icon over here. If you click here, we get the same selector again. So from the CPU data set, we pick the name. And in the count, we could just put the number, but we also want a little visualization here. So let's add a data bar. Let's just drag and drop a data bar into this cell. We just want the plain data bar here. And by right-clicking the data bar, we again get this small pop-out window, which allows us to set it to the actual number that should be represented on this data bar. That's actually all set. Let's go to preview. And we see that the report works. So we have a dashboard with four different aspects of our clients in our environment. Now, this is all stuck in Visual Studio now. You want to publish it to your users. Now, what you can do is right-click here and just deploy. Now, obviously, Visual Studio doesn't know where to deploy it to. Before you do that, on your report, where is it? The report URL. On the properties of your project, you see the target server URL. So you have to type in the URL of your reporting services instance, which in my case is HTTP, SQL01 report server. Once this is done, we should be able to deploy the solution, which succeeded. So if we go to a web browser, to our SSRS environment, we now see the data has been published to SSRS. And here is our client dashboard. And now you can actually deploy this to your users, set all the permissions that you need. You can also configure subscriptions on the report if you need any. So you can leverage any features of SQL reporting services that you need. Did this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, last thing, I don't want to lose my work. And especially, I mean, it happened to me before. Actually, I just bought a new laptop. And my old laptop, I also had a lot of Visual Studio projects on the old laptop. Then I replaced it with the new one. The old one was in my office. And after weeks later, Windows 10 came out. I was like, I want to try it. I put Windows 10 on the old one. Then I realized, oh man, I had Visual Studio solutions on the old machine, which I forgot to check into TFS. So please consider using source control. TFS Online is for free for up to five users. So, and it's really as simple as right-click, check in, and you're all set. And it's in the cloud, which might be another issue, I know, but we're not going to discuss this today.
Of course we are.
If this is an issue, deploy your own TFS, but use source control. Yeah. All right.
You good?
Sure.
All right. So I did say I was a big fan of simplicity. So he's a developer. He builds databases and all kinds of stuff. I came from a similar background. If you want to have what he's just done, but without system-centered data, when I was studying it, if you search on YouTube, there's a series by a company called Wise Owl. It's free. They use movie data to walk through all of this. So you don't need to save it in the cloud. You can save it up on your laptop as well. Should I use OneDrive, man? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have sorted you out.
Yeah. Right. I know.
Yeah.
But don't combine TFS with OneDrive. Don't do it. It will break.
Use Dropbox.
No. Don't make your TFS repository a source for OneDrive. That's don't cool. do it.
I've been a big fan of Diddy for a long time. And when I write books with him, he hates me. So you've seen him work through all of that in super fast time. I simplify. So with a reporting cookbook, I made him break everything down. It's not to pimp the book or anything like that, but I used to look at Report Builder and think, well, what am I doing here, right? So this next set of instructions here is about how we actually build the demo and what you need. But there are a lot of resources out there. It's just, what, Word on steroids?
Yeah.
Right? So when you see a box, you can click on it and say bold. It'll make it bold. I was afraid of it until I started jumping into it. My phone, a friend, it helps me out. So I've seen you jumping into this whole SQL data tools and stuff like that. I mean, how do I get it? What's it all about?
Yeah, so what we've just done, and now comes the, I just love it, the best product name Microsoft has ever come up with. So what you've seen is, and what you need to download and install in order to do that, is Microsoft SQL Server Data Tools Business Intelligence for Visual Studio 2013.
Don't ask me to say that tonight after 10 o'clock. It's not going to happen.
So all that it does is it adds project templates for analysis services, integration services, and reporting services to Visual Studio. And it supports Visual SQL Server 2008 R2, 2012, and 2014 for now. And I think even though it says business intelligence for Visual Studio, it is important to state that Visual Studio is not required. So, of course, you can use the free version of Visual Studio, but you don't need to have Visual Studio at all. If you just download it, it's a 1 gigabyte download, and install it, it will install the Visual Studio shell for you, and you can just start authoring reports.
Yeah, and just a little tip. Ignore Visual Studio completely. Ignore everything he said for just 10 seconds. When you go into your SQL install and you do your options, you can select data tools in there, and it would install it for you. So you don't have to explicitly do that. You can still enable it through the features. You can even install it on your own laptop to do this. Right. But now you can listen to him again. I was just like, you know,
blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. So I believe you mentioned that Visual Studio Online is free for up to 5 users.
Yes, at a reduced feature set, of course, but if you just need source control, it's a good thing.
Cool. Favorite part. I've documented around Report Builder, and I've messed about with the SQL data tools. You get a bit more flexibility around that. The only thing I'll say about Report Builder is it's for me. This is for everybody. So where he showed you trying to look for, like, say, the URL to store the reports, you can set all of that up in advance. It's part of the option, so you can set up your default folders, all of those names in advance. That's the flexibility it gives you. Yeah. So on one side of it, Report Builder is more for the power user, but it does lack in some flexibility. You can still copy reports and reuse them. It's generally not centralized unless you make it happen yourself and force everybody to store the RDL files in a shared location. and it's usually localized until you save it up to the report server. This side of the pillar, I'm going to let Diddy explain himself because he told me to put it down, apparently. It's like in the UK, we've got a particular chocolate called a Yorkie bar. For the ladies in the room, don't be offended. I didn't write the advert. They say it's not for ladies, right? So it's a very macho chocolate. But the Irish guys can explain it a bit more. So, you know, SQL Data Tools is meant to be the macho tool, but it's not really.
Oh, it's just a different tool, right? Yeah. It's really targeted at the developers, at development teams, where you need the flexibility of multiple people working maybe on the same project. And I think the main differentiator is the concept of solutions. So if you are involved in a reporting project, you normally not just need to create this one report. You might have this report and another one in the which fits to the same topic. So you can bundle this all into one solution. Then you might have additional files like images that you want to bundle in the solution. You might want to add documentation, etc., and have this all as one manageable entity in Visual Studio, and also have the connection to TFS or another source control system.
So what's this whole business about custom data extensions? I mean, why can't I get a report builder?
Well, Visual Studio is a development tool, so you can code there. You can write code behind for your reports. Custom data extensions is an example where you need to extend the data provider, for instance, for SQL Server, or create a custom data provider to feed data from other data sources into your reports, which is not possible with Report Builder.
Cool. I mean, what I do like about the data tools is when you're doing Report Builder in the book, for instance, I document how you can get what you get in the data tools by creating folders, etc. So you can set up a project that is for my config reports, projects for my ops manager reports, and then do version control there, because you can have multiple people editing it. So that's what I found useful.
Yeah, sure. Right. Sure. I think another thing to add here, which is unfortunately not on the slide, is Visual Studio is you can use multiple deployment configurations, which basically allows you to have your solution deployed to dev, test, production. And you just switch, when you build it, you just switch between the configurations, and then you just deploy it to the right server, which also helps a lot.
Cool. Well, we did say it was all about demos. And this second one I do like, because he's going to go into hyperdrive. I know it's towards the end of the day, but I promise you there'll be coffee, and there are a lot of bars and stuff around here that would pep you up afterwards. Yeah, sure. So if you look back there, right, my good old friend Steve Bowman back there, he's got a can of, what's that? Does that give you wings? Yeah, he's got Red Bull back there. I used to work with Steve in the UK, and I had to ban him from a special drink called Relentless, because I'm hyper, but he got super hyper, right? So now he's downgraded to the Red Bull. You guys ready for hyperdrive? I can't hear you, man. Come on, show me some love. You ready for hyperdrive? Vas? All right. You ready,
All right,
DD?
Yeah, sure. Let's get started. So for this demo, we're going to use Service Manager.
Favorite,
you like
so.
It, eh?
Yeah, man. Come on, show me.
So we were tasked by our manager to actually give some insights on our incident management process. He wants to know what are the particular areas that we have incidents in and how many do we have? What is the spread of users reporting incidents across the globe? And he also wants to see how incidents are being reported. Are they reported through email, through the console, or through the portal? And he wants some interaction there. So he wants to have live interaction, like, okay, if just one particular classification, for instance, SAP incidents, where do they come from, et cetera. And I was like, okay, traditional tools is not really the best option to do that. It's more like a static reports. But we now have all these fancy new Power BI tools, so I decided to use that for this requirement. So back to my virtual machine. Here we are. Let's fire up Power BI now. Power BI is on one hand side is a cloud service, which you can use to publish reports to, but it also comes with a desktop version to actually author your reports. I have installed it here. It's called Power BI Desktop. And in former times, Microsoft used to promote a Power Query for Excel to do that. Now Power BI Desktop is, from my point of view, a much more advanced and much more feature-rich tool to do that. And it doesn't, for Excel, I was always, I'm not confused in Excel by itself, but Excel is more of like a financial tool, and you have all your ribbon and all your tools, and here it's really stripped down to what you need to create appealing reports. You have three main areas. You have the report design area, you have the data area, and the relationships. So you have to connect to data, you have to relate the data, and then to present the data. Now, unfortunately, we don't have too much time to run through all the details, but let me show you what needs to be done at the first stage. So first, what you have to do is to get the data, and I think this is very interesting here. So you see all the various data sources that Power BI is capable of attaching to. So it's really limitless. You can just connect to a website and extract a table on any website that you have. You can, and the good thing is you can connect to multiple data sources. Power BI will then take a copy of the schema locally, and then you can combine different data sources and create reports that take data from both data or from all data sources. Now for this sample, of course, it's pretty simple. We just use SQL Server. So once you connect to SQL Server, you have to provide a server name as well and a database name. For Service Manager, the data warehouse is called dwdatamod. Did Cortana just reply to me, or?
Yeah, for the Power BI thing, Kurt Van Hooker is doing a great deep dive on this. So we're going to give you a sample. I'm trying to figure out which session he is on, but if you look at your schedule, is it tomorrow?
Find it out while I'm...
Yeah, while you're trying to do that. So have no fear, Kurt has got you.
So now you see it's still counting and counting and counting here. So all the tables that we have in our data warehouse here. And then you, like we did in authoring a classic report, you have to pick all the tables that you need. And afterwards, you can work with them. This is what I have already prepared for you. So I'm going to cancel out here. I'm going to open an existing project, which is this incident dashboard template. It's already open. You can hardly see because it's still empty because the report we're going to do together here in the session. But if we go to the data tab, you see that we have a few tables here, and you can actually see them much better here. So what we have here is we have the incident table. I have removed all the columns that we don't need. We have the classification, which is it an email problem, a business application problem, an SAP problem? We have the source. How does it come from? Does the incident come through email, through phone, etc.? We have the user, because we want to report on where the user is from. And for that, we also need to relate the user to the incident, which is done through the work item affected user. So between the work item, which is an incident, and the affected user, we have a relationship that tells me who reported the incident. And we also need display strings, because a service manager, for instance, the classification, can have multiple display strings per language. So we need to get the display string of the classification and of the source. Now you see all we have here is just the tables. I added them, and I removed the columns that I don't need. Now we continue to work with this data model. So as I told you, on the incident classification, we can actually go to edit queries here. And then we see the data here. So we go to the incident classification, and we see this internal ID here, and we see a name. But you also see names like this here. So for for incident classifications, we get the internal names, and we now want the translated name to be added to this, and this name is inside the display string table. So all we do is, on this table, we go to merge queries. On the merge query wizard, we can select the table we want to merge it with, so we select the display string. And now we have to select the two columns that match so that we can merge the table. So we see here that the incident the ID here matches on the element name, and it also tells me, hey, I was able to match 28 out of 29 rows, so that tells us, okay, that sounds good, because the other one is null, which is obviously unmatchable. And we hit OK. So we just merged the two tables, and you see here we have now a new column that returns a table, and instead of a table, I actually only want one column, so I can expand this and say all I want is the display name here. Hit OK, whoosh, and you get it. And this is what I really love about Power BI, so you really get instant feedback on whether it whether this is what you want. Now, we use the same approach for the affected user. So on the incident, we're going to merge with the work item table. And you see on the work item table, we have an entity dim key and a work item dim key. And on the incident table, we also have an entity dim key. So we're going to merge on these two columns. All is matched, perfect. Let's do it. And then what we need is the work item dimension key. Now we have the ID of the work item, and with this ID we can relate to the relationship to the affected user. So we merge again. This time we merge to the work item affected user. We merge on this newly added column here to the work item dimension. And we return the user dimension key. Now, instead of making a lot of joins and relationships, we actually have the ID of the affected user in our incident table available. Next, we go to close and load. It's now reevaluating and reloading the data. And you will see that the new columns should appear here. Whoops, here they are. This is a little bit annoying. It always tries to be smart and automatically create relationships, which is what we're fixing now. So it has just seen, okay, these are the two same name column names. This could be a relationship, but actually it's not. So we remove it. And then we add the real relationships. So we now need to relate the incident to the classification, to the source, and to the user. So first we add the relationship between incident and the classification. On the classification ID and classification ID. Then we add the relationship. Don't crash, buddy. Oops. Oops. Let's fire it up again.
That's what live demos do to you. By the way, all that merge business, Kurt wrote chapter 9 of the reporting cookbook, and I've documented those steps, but he was using Ops Manager data. It's a little bit unnatural, so you got to practice it a little bit. I've done my best to simplify, but you should be able to refer to that to get a good handle of this. Am I still being your egg timer, Didi?
Yes, you are.
All right, that's great.
But
you owe me for that.
Issues out of control, right?
Yeah.
So we have to start over.
We have to start over again. So Kurt's session is at 9:15 tomorrow morning for those that are reporting junkies. But he does some really cool stuff with Power BI. And does anybody know Kurt? Yeah? Ask him. He's an MVP, like all of these guys. They don't let me into that party, but he's got some great stuff. And this is also being recorded for Channel 9. I'm going to make Diddy report, record everything that doesn't work here. And he will personally come and see you at your company and make sure he explains it. But I won't be here, so I can't guarantee that.
Yeah. You make promises, dude.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm just repeating what we already did. I'm sorry for that. It's really painful. I hope we are not going to run too much over time, though.
Well, we've got about 10 minutes to go.
Should be enough, actually.
Should be enough.
You good? Because the cool thing, once you've done all your data model, visualization is really just drag and drop. It's just awesome. You're going to love it, I'm sure.
Well, this session is all slide lights demo rich, so there'll be no more slides.
Here. We add the display string, and I think that's it. No, that was wrong. Sorry. And by the way, whatever you do here is it's sort of like a macro. So I have just merged here, and you see it just recorded a new step here. You can move steps around, or you can just undo steps here. So that's pretty cool. Because sometimes you might make a step that depends on another step, so be sure not to move them around so that they conflict with each other. Because you're working on a virtual data model. Nothing happens on the database. You can really play around here. It's just all inside your report. So we have to make
steps afterwards. Can you add steps in between the two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, at any time. Yeah, now it looks better. Now we need the display name. Okay, that's all done. We need to close and load. Mm-hmm. And hope it will not crash again when we manage the relationships. So we're going to remove this one and add one between incident and classification on classification ID. Another one between incident and source on source ID. And the third one between incident and user on the user dim key. If we now switch back to the relationship view, you actually see that the tables have been joined together. These three tables are not used anymore because we just use them as proxies to get to the affected user and to get the display name. So one last thing I would like to do is on the incident, if we switch back to the data view here, you see the created date here. And we actually want to have a number of incidents per month and not one individual dot per date here. So you can also modify columns here. So what we're going to do is we just right click the created date, change type, and go to date. So it removes the time part for me. What we can also do is we can up here split columns. So I'm going to split the column by a delimiter. I'm using a custom, and I'm using the dot. So now I have, or I should have, three columns, one for the day, one for the month, and another one for the year. And this allows me to do what I want to do. So here we're going to rename those. You can also rename columns. Really, you're just working on a virtual data model. Don't be afraid to break any database here. This will be the month, and this will be my year. All right, let's save this guy. Would be a good option, I would say. Close and load.
What if you want to do like a running 30 days, like the last 30 days?
You can do this in the presentation, I assume. You can use filters here. Let me try to do that right afterwards when we do the presentation. Let's save this guy to my scenario 2 folder. This is the incident dashboard. Okay. Let's start with the classification. So you see here the different chart options that we have. Let's pick a regular bar chart. Just click it, you will get it here. And now you get all these axes and values options here, and you see your data over here. So what we want is we want the count of incidents. So in the incident table, we have ID. And I move the ID to the values. Now I have total number of incidents, almost 20,000. And I want this by classification. So I add, move the classifications to the legend. To the axis. Here we go. And now I want to order this sort by count. Here we go. Now I know we need to speed up a little bit. Next thing would be the incident source. So we add a pie chart. We add the number of incidents in the value field, and we take the source in the legend. Here we go. We move this guy up here. Then we want users by country. So let's pick this map here. Oops. Here. On the user dimension, we have the country. So we just move the country here. Okay. And we want the number of incidents in the values field. Here we go. So we see we have incidents from Switzerland and from China. Cool. Next up is incidents over time. So we use an area of, oops. Always select white space before you do that, otherwise it's being replaced. Again, count of incidents in the data. Now we add a column. We're adding a new measure. And in this measure, we're going to combine year. It's a little dirty what I do, but year plus month. These are the names of my columns that I have. Not liking it for some reason.
Is that the MDX syntax then?
Should work actually. So did I? Oh, I select a measure. I want a column, obviously. New column. Did it do it? Not really, huh? Year. Plus white space, plus a dash, plus month. It's really not liking me today. Never mind, let's skip out of this. It used to work before.
Typo?
No, there is no typo. I don't get it. But we're losing too much time, so let's cancel out. Let's just use the year in that case. Excuse me. On the legend, on the axis. We can also add the month as a separate. We're a little bit confused. Let's use the month. Yeah, it's now a little bit mixed up between months, between years, but sorry for that. Now we're all set with this report. Now the cool thing about Power BI is this is interactive. So if I'm interested in seeing more details about SAP, I can just click here, and you see how everything moves around. So I now see SAP incidents were evenly reported in the two countries, but only a few were by email. Or I can click email, then I see how many email incidents came from SAP team, or I just click here the Chinese guys. and I see what incidents were reported from China, or the operations manager incidents. I see, oh, they only come from Switzerland. Of course, that's where the servers are hosted. So this is how interactive Power BI can be. Last but not least, I know we hit time, but what you can do is you can publish, and this is when the Power BI Cloud Service comes into place. So by publishing it, it will add it to Power BI Cloud and then make it available to other users to access it through the browser.
That's a wee bit hardcore, but it's actually much simpler than what it looks like. Thank you very much. I mean, it's he drives in super, super fast mode, but when you play, it can slow it down, play in slow motion. Right? That's my speed. Okay. So you're going to get these slide decks at the end of it. So I'm going to kind of like click through what you need for this. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, because I think we're the last people between you and beer, right?
Yeah.
Or wine. Yeah. It's not a good place to be. So this is cool, man. Got a little pointer. It's going all over the place. You want me to go faster? All right. So here's just a quick thing about it. So like I said, before this Power BI desktop was released, that's when we wrote the reports and cookbook. I actually had somebody test the steps for me. And I was using Excel 2013. They were using 2010. And if you've worked with Microsoft long enough, they like to move things around. So the Power BI desktop application gives you a much better experience because it's consistent. And they've just consolidated and you got all the version control. Also, things like the data load issues. If you connect Excel to data sources, it can be a bit of a pain. Right, it just spins away, and as Didi was doing that, he just takes a sample of it, and then you load the data at the time that you need it. So my favorite part of the slide deck, how do you become a reporting superhero? Well, it's really very simple. So he talked about data sources. It's the address to the house, right? That's all he's doing. And then the data set's really more about which room to go into. Without the queries, none of the reports make sense. But if you go online, there are a lot of free resources about the queries, because that's what lights it up. That's what I found the toughest bit about creating a report is. The third and most important bit for me is he's cheating. You saw like about all the different databases all on one SQL server. But what he's actually done is taken an offline copy, which is what we recommend. Play with that so you don't mess with your DBA admin's head.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is really important. I mean, if you sometimes you run a complex query against an operational systems and a database, it can really hurt the performance. So if you're not yet too much into it, better just create a backup, take it offline. You can even install SQL Express on your local box and restore it to your environment and play around with it.
Sure. Cool. All right. You guys feel like you're in hyperdrive now? Yeah? You're good. What you don't want to do when it comes to reports, right? Don't go and see this guy, right? It's not good, right? See him? No, you don't, right? So if somebody comes to you and they're not following what Mr. Gasser just did there, don't do it. They'll give you free hugs, yeah? On that note, I'd like to say that we've put a lot of resources in here. Kurt is on at 9:15 tomorrow morning. Go and see him.
Maybe switch back just a little quick here. Yeah. So as Sam pointed out, I think the most difficult thing is to get a grasp on the data sources. Where is the data? What is the schema of all the databases? Take a look at these online resources. These are the ones that I deem are sort of useful. SCCM definitely is. They did a great job. SCOM is pretty okay. It still says 2007, but the data warehouse did not change. And for SCSM, well, there is, you at least get a little bit of an overview on the autonomy of the data warehouse. But to get more of an understanding, I recommend to maybe buy our book. Would that be an option?
Get it. He made me document it, right? He took 8 months of my life away. So please buy it, something like about 40 Swiss francs. It would allow me to buy some more gadgets. So talking about gadgets, we're going to be competing on Wednesday morning. You need to come and see the best gadgets on the planet.
No, you need to come and see how to customize Service Manager with Visual Studio and C#.
Look, man, I got Lee Berg there. He's all the way from the USA, right? We got Raspberry Pis, IoT. It's just going to be nuts, right? So come and see that one. We'd like to open for questions, but we freestyle. I'm going to be here, and I'm here for the next 3 days.
Yeah, we're still here, so we don't want to stop you from your beers. So feel free to drop by the desk. And thank you so much for your time here.
Thank you very much. And don't forget the sponsors.
Thank you.
By all means, don't forget to do that. It's been emotional.